Well, good morning to you all and welcome to our Sunday morning service on this Pentecost Sunday. And a special warm welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. I know we do have one or two visitors. I know that because some of them are staying with us. But if there's any others, then you're very welcome. And do take the time, if you're able to come through to the service, the hall after the service, and have a cup of tea or coffee and a chat with us. Notices are nearly all on the notice sheet. Just a reminder that next Sunday we've got Connect again, a final look into the life of Peter before Connect has a break over the school holidays. So if you've not been to Connect yet, then next Sunday is your last chance for a couple of months. And if you have been to Connect, then you'll know how good it is, so you'll want to come back again on Sunday morning. This evening is our monthly prayer meeting, and that's in June Taylor's home at 7 o'clock this evening. And one final intimation that I have, which is that the thrift shop opened all day yesterday. Apparently, this was in order to try and get rid of some of the stock that they had, and they raised £237, so I guess the stock must have gone down a fair bit. So well done, and thanks to all who did that. Thank you.
Good morning, let us pray. God, you are here. You are in the midst of all of life, and your love endures forever. And our stillness and our busyness, our coming and our going, opening and closing, God's love endures forever. In our belief and in our unbelief, our faith and our uncertainty, doubt and apathy, God's love endures forever. In our times of feast and in our times of famine, our too much and our too little, enough and not enough, God's love endures forever. In our anger and in our angst, our passion and our pain, joy and jealousy, delight and denial, God's love endures forever. In our wounding and in our healing, our making and our mending, coming together and drifting apart, God's love endures forever. In our giving and in our grudging, our receiving and our resenting, accepting and rejecting, God's love endures forever. In our lifting up and in our tearing down, our building and our destroying, welcoming and hostility, God's love endures forever. In our living and in our dying, our hoping and despairing, in all of our beginnings and all of our endings, God's love endures forever. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Come, let us worship. Come, Creator Spirit, and blow through our broken world. Come, Creator Spirit, and bring new life to our world. Come, Creator Spirit, and blow through our broken lives. Come, Creator Spirit, and bring us new life. I greet you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God the Creator, of the visible and the unseen, and through Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Savior, light out of light, and through the work of His Holy Spirit, our Comforter and our Advocate. And when the Lord greets us, let's greet Him back with the hymn 594, Come Holy Spirit, come.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
It was me. I was just so afraid that when I sing, the rest of the congregation would wonder what's going on now. So I just switched myself off. Apart from JJ this morning, I don't see other youngsters. Do I see anyone? Or don't see anyone? No. All right. If it's okay with you, we can skip the children's reflection this morning then, because I think JJ is a bit too small to enact what I was thinking of doing. Well, we all know it's Pentecost Sunday this morning, and the church enters the season of Pentecost, and the word comes from the Greek Pentecosti, which means 50th, with the roots of the feast and the central tradition of the Christian tradition actually finding its roots back to the Jewish tradition, which was the Feast of Weeks, and that was celebrated 50 days after the Passover in the Old Testament. And then obviously within the medieval Western Church, it was also again found, and in the early church, Pentecost was the time for admitting new Christians into the church. And when we celebrate Pentecost, I need to say this was not only my initiative at the back, that was the youngsters. Thank you, Grant, Petri, and Chris. Where's Chris? There at the back. They climbed all over the... No, a joke. No. So the colors at the back represents the flames of the Spirit, which would be colors of fire, gold or red or orange. And I see a lot of you are wearing some of those colors today. Also thinking that the Holy Spirit helps us to celebrate and confirm the gifts of the Spirit being with us, and also of a rebirth within ourselves. And when we think of Pentecost, it's not only about receiving the Spirit, but it's also a celebration of our baptism. And therefore I have, what do you call the font? Do you call it font? It's also, thank you. So I have the font in the middle. Someone was asking, who are we baptizing today? We're not baptizing anyone today. It's just a symbol to remember that we are baptized. We are part of the covenant. We are part of being guided through the Holy Spirit. I said also a day of remembering that we are born again, and that we have a responsibility within our own homes, our own communities, but also within the world to celebrate the mission and the work of Christ. Following the ascension of Jesus being resurrected, the church no longer had his risen body, but the actual presence of God. And instead of Jesus being with us, had the gift of the Spirit. The celebration today is not simply a moment of historical recollection when we remember something that happened long, long ago. Instead, it's a day of active remembrance of who we are within our baptism, saved ones through the Spirit of Christ. Now this morning, we are going to do things a little bit different with regards to the readings. And our reader for today is Jane Rossiter, but Jane will only read her reading at the end. Thank you, Jane. before I call Evelyn to the front, I want to read the one scripture from John chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. It says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," it's Jesus speaking, "will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then Jesus tells his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give this to you as the world gives it. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So Jesus tells us very specifically, "I give my Spirit unto you. I give the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to you." While we seat, we're first going to sing the one hymn. Sorry, Evelyn. After the hymn, I'll ask Evelyn to do the first reading from Genesis.
Thank you.
Can I do a prayer for us, and then you can, no, please stand next to me. Lord, thank you that we have the privilege, as I prayed before the service in the vestry, to have your word freely to read it. And therefore it's our prayer in celebrating Pentecost, the gift of your Holy Spirit to the church today, the birthday of the church actually, knowing that you guide us. And therefore that is my prayer in reading your word this morning. May we rediscover the works of a part of who you are, a part of the work of your Spirit, and who we are as a church. I pray this in your name, as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. Evelyn is going to read from Genesis chapter 11. Evelyn, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to read from chapter 1 in Genesis. Chapter 1 in Genesis reads like this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. In the first verse of the Bible, we hear that God's Spirit is already present. You can lead us. Thank you.
The Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth.
Thank you, Evelyn. I chose different texts from the Bible this morning just to show us that the Holy Spirit is at work from the beginning of creation, and that with as part of that, when God, well, that is how I see the scriptures, and we may differ from one another as well, but when when God created the humans, he also had the commandment, go and live throughout the earth, not only in one place. And the scripture that Evelyn read us from Genesis chapter 11, that was not part of God's will to gather all people in one place. That would not suit the Lord, giving him praises all over the world. And therefore, I do make a connection between Genesis 11 and the text that Jane Rossiter will read at the end from Acts 2, when people speak in different tongues, but definitely in different languages. And I'll say the different languages is exactly that, so that we won't culminate in one place, but that the glory of the Lord will be all over the globe of the earth. Every corner, the Lord will be praised, and not only in one place for our own kingdom. The next scripture, June, can I ask you to read that? It comes from Genesis chapter 17, part of the covenant with Abram, which also has this promise of going to the nations. It's not something only from the New Testament, but the Spirit of God guides us to go to the nations already in the Old Testament.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." And that's where we stop.
Thank you very much, June. And within the covenant, we hear that nations are blessed through Abram. And it's part of the covenant in Jesus Christ with us as well. Being part of this covenant, to be blessed ones, not for our own sake only, but to bless those that cross our paths, where we trod, where the kingdom already are, and where we go, to give the same blessing that God will give all over the earth. I'm going to ask Willie Jack, to read from Isaiah 42. And there's so many scriptures that we could gain from the Old Testament and the New Testament, but just pulling some out this morning. Thank you, Willie.
"Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I put my spirit in him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teachings the islands will put their hope."
Thank you, Willie. Again, in the Old Testament, obviously a prophetic text, but also a text towards the folk of Israel. My spirit will be upon you. You will make my will available and reveal it to the nations. I'm going to ask Isabel Spence to read us from Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20.
"Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'"
Thank you. So there again, a confirmation that Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be with you. And this morning we are not going to engage in the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We can ponder on that at a later stage. But just knowing that the Spirit is not something that God thought out and giving it in the New Testament. It comes throughout the ages. I'm going to ask Jane, our reader, official reader for today, to read us the part from Acts 2, verse 1 to 21, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and Peter when he addresses the crowd. You can have. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jane.
"When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Thank you. Glory be to God, which gives us his holy word. I'd ask myself the question, what does it mean today to the church to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and what difference does it make to live in the Spirit? The story of Pentecost challenged us to get out of our comfort zones and, like the story in Acts 2, to be less predictive in our spiritual life of what needs to be done and how it should be done. Not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but thinking of the work of the Holy Spirit that defines our ways and not ourselves. For if we are to learn anything from the Feast of Pentecost, it is to be open to the Spirit of God, which is dynamic today as I believe it was back with Peter and the first church. We need to listen to the Spirit, interpret what is being said to the church today, and to be relevant to the world standing outside the church as well. For the mission field today is within the church, but also we know with outside the church. The world needs the message of the risen Christ, which really brings new life, which brings hope. And our hurting and unstable world outside the church, I believe, does still lean in to listen what we are saying. Although we think they apathetic, is that the word? Yes? I don't believe so. Some are very skeptical of the church. But I read this week on the Ministers Forum of the Church of Scotland that we need to raise our voices because maybe that's the reason some are apathetic, because they don't hear the church saying very much towards society. My question is, what is the message of hope that God is giving the church today? What is God giving you today in your personal life? And that message needs to be interpreted into the world and society of where we live daily. God is still speaking to the church through His Holy Spirit, and the church and the Spirit can move within the world. What is God whispering? Maybe in your own heart, in your own life. Now, and how might we be inspired to call out today and spread the hope and the love that God has to offer? We are the body of Christ. The passage that Jane read from Acts stands at the beginning of the mission of the disciples after the death of Jesus and the resurrection of him. And the ascension recorded in the first chapter of the books of Acts tells us that the disciples had very slowly begun to gather themselves and organize themselves, deciding how are they going to go forward to fulfill this mission of go to all the nations, go into the world, talk about Christ, learn them, teach them, baptize them. It was a very human and ordinary scene, I would say, the gathering of the disciples and followers of Jesus. And then, the extraordinary, the strange, came about. The promise that Jesus made, and that is the Holy Spirit which arrived. It is a scene of chaos, totally different what they would expect. It was confusion, it was a rush of violent wind, divided tongues we heard resting upon them, strange languages being spoken within their own group. And I was wondering, how would this even sound with so many people speaking so many different languages? And I asked a few of our friends to help me this morning to just have an example of maybe how it might sound during that gathering. It's good, let's go.
Hamba, open Jesu, Jesu, abafundi zonke, entlanga, li baptizela, ega meni lo Jesu, Indiano lo Yomo, Ngongwele, nimbafundi se kuba, bazinge zonke izintwele, entlini umzetu gazo, yabona mandanzi, yonke mande kubu kube, zekupeleke, eli.
Thank you very much, friends. Very strange. How did you find it? It was quite inspiring as well to think, and so the Holy Spirit does work in different ways. Well, we weren't there, obviously, but still the Holy Spirit works in very strange ways. They were witnesses of the scene we hear, and they, like us, were puzzled by what was happening. And it was the outsiders, the peculiar thing of the text. It was the outsiders and not the insiders of the first church who understood what was being said in the different languages. Whatever was happening, it was clear that the Spirit of God was forcing the disciples caught in the chaos to turn their minds different from what they would think to do outwards towards the onlookers. And because the onlookers, the strangers, were able to understand what the Lord wanted to say to the world. The disciples, the text tells us, were all amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? I think it was only one. Grant, did you do the English? Yes, we had, what did you do then? Greek. We had Greek. We had Latin. We had Khoisa. We had Afrikaans. We had Doric. We had, what did you have? Gaelic. So we have different languages. But we won't understand it, but people within the language would understand the words. Peter that day offered an explanation from the prophet Joel, who said, everyone who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. And the chapter continues with Peter giving a passionate account of the life of Jesus Christ. How what he did and what it was happened now fits into the salvation of God towards the world and not only towards the disciples gathered there. And then the text tells us all came upon them. People came forward to be baptized and to do baptism, and that day 3,000 individuals was added to the church. It's interesting to note that Pentecost is a celebration for people both inside, but most definitely outside the church, outside the boundaries. It's the endorsing of the disciples' mission and an overflow of God into and beyond the boundaries of the disciples. Beyond our own boundaries, God calls us. It was not just the disciples being sent out to convert others, but also God pulling the world closer, the missional world, pulling it closer to the world of the disciples themselves. Those who heard could understand the babble of the disciples and understood that they were witnesses of the power of God. Now, the emphasis of Pentecost still remains on the gift of the Holy Spirit, which advocates us as the church. This has implications not only for our concept of who God is, and next week it's Trinity Sunday, and we'll focus a bit on that as well, but to focus on the work of God within the world. Much like the Pentecost event itself, we today are called, and it's required, to be good hermeneutics, and the word for hermeneutics would be the art of interpretation, or even the art of preaching, but it's most likely to be said the art of interpretation. Now, in the modern early church, hermeneutics was normally associated with the interpretation of Scripture and described the process of uncovering holy messages. Later, the term was used more broadened to include methods of understanding and explaining both sacred text and secular text from antiquity. It continues to suggest an interpretation that discloses something hidden from the ordinary understanding and which is quite mysterious. Now, in this way, the interpreter is accessing a body of knowledge from somewhere else, and it's a bridge to that place, being a mediator between a mysterious other world and the result that it, the way it needs to be conveyed to. Therefore, when we think of being Christians in church today, we still need the Spirit, the mysterious way of the Spirit, to convey the so-called understand mysteries to the world outside, which does lean in and ask, how do we heal? How do we go forward in a disruptive world? How do we live? How do we have hope? And yes, are we broken people ourselves? We are. But therefore, we need to ask ourselves constantly, how does the Spirit guide us? And I want to end off, this was not part of the preparation of the sermon, but whilst Jane was reading, I was thinking of Ephesians 5, which reads as follows. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And how do I do it? I pray, I read, I ask my fellow believers. Do not get drunk, because you remember in Acts 2 they thought the apostles were drunk, yes, speaking in different tongues. Then Paul writes, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to, and now you need to help me with this English word,
debauchery.
Yes. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Lord, God the Father, for everything in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is such a beautiful metaphor. Do not get drunk on wine. We know how it looks. I've explained it one session before. If someone takes too much wine or too much alcohol, you get a bit tipsy. But you know someone that that's not a regular drinker. If they go to a pub or a bar, what happens in their lives or in that situation? After work, they might go to the bar, just have one drink, being shy themselves, being shy, I'll have one drink, thank you, have the drink, and relax, losing some of the stress of the day. And then when I have another drink, it might put me on a different stage, a different level, is it not? I don't know, you don't need to nod, it's fine. I just hear these things. Some people, after a while drinking, lose their inhibitions. And you get those happy fellows at the end of the night which says, hey, rounds on the house. They totally lose themselves. They completely lose themselves. And listen to this wonderful metaphor, because Paul was knew what was going on when you consume too much alcohol. He said, don't get drunk on alcohol. Don't drink too much wine. It's good. Wine is good. Paul also says wine is good. A little bit of wine is good for the tummy. He said, don't give yourself over to wine. But the same reaction that wine and alcohol has on your life, the Spirit will do. In the beginning, we will struggle to engage with the Holy Spirit, praying. When we start out praying as children or maybe as adults, I struggle to speak. I don't know if I don't find the words very easy. But the more I trot into this scene and asking God that the Spirit will lead me, it does become easier. I do speak easier. And in the end, is that not the conversion towards Christ and His Spirit, giving myself over to be filled with the Spirit? And did you hear the imperative in that text of Ephesians? It said, let us be filled with the Spirit. It's not only once off. It's a continuous imperative. Stand before the Lord, give yourself, and be filled. And therefore, give yourself over and being led by the Spirit. This morning, I ask you, within your own brokenness, within your own life, never forget that the grace and the salvation came unto you and I, and therefore we live out of that thankfulness. And through the hope and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, within my thoughts and my heart, through discernment, I give the hope to others. I said earlier, I don't know your situation. I don't know how the Spirit might work in your current situation of whatever it might be. The Spirit can actually upset us as well to guide us in a new direction. But the rest outside are waiting to hear what the church is saying through the work of the Spirit. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you guide us in so many different ways through your Spirit. We know as Christians that there's so many different gifts you give us as a church. And therefore, I ask you this morning, may we throw off our laziness, our comfort, our so easy known ways, not that there's any wrong with having good ways, but we could be stuck in life, in church, and we are church, not this building, we know that. And therefore I really ask you to bless us again with your Holy Spirit. Pour your Spirit upon us, within us, so that we may go out of this building, think of the work of your Spirit around us, everywhere, but in definite situations in our lives where we need to speak, maybe metaphorically saying, a different language to assist, help, comfort, be there as you would be there for others. Thank you that we are part of your covenant, being blessed ones. But now I ask of you, send us out blessing others. I pray this in your name as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hymn 616 says, there's a spirit in the air. Let us sing hymn 616 as praise, and then I'll pray and we do our offering. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, our eyes cannot see you. Our hands cannot touch you physically. You are beyond the understanding of our minds, and yet you have breathed your spirit into our spirits. You have formed our minds to seek you, inclined our hearts to love you, called us to be heirs of your eternal kingdom. Therefore, we pray, give us faith to lay hold of things unseen, to live as those who see the invincible God. Bring us at the last to those things beyond our seeing, beyond our hearing, beyond our imagining, to the vision of your glory when we shall see your face to face. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us bring our offerings to the Lord, and then we sing hymn 582 whilst doing that. Let us dedicate our offering. Lord, we long for the time when the meek shall inherit the earth, and all who hunger and thirst after justice shall be satisfied. And we believe that, despite the persistence of evil, now is always the time when more good can be done and we can make a difference. Therefore, may it be so through the offerings of these gifts and the offering of our lives, work through your Spirit everywhere. Amen. Let us pray for the week ahead and interceding for our government and others. Jesus, you promised your Holy Spirit, and we receive your Holy Spirit within our lives. And as the Spirit enables us, we pray towards you and your work. May all church leaders, whether they be ordained ministers or laity, be filled to overflowing with love for your people and kindled with fresh zeal for spreading the good news of your gospel wherever they come. And this prayer is also for us for the week. Wherever we may go, may we spread your good news. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. May all those negotiating for peace in the delicate areas of national conflict, industrial disputes, and bitterness be blessed with your peace, Lord, tranquil and patient beneath the pressures. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. In our homes and places of work, our schools, even our hospital, may there always be time for the warmth of loving concern and the comfort of being valued. Thank you for all the staff that gives this comfort through the work of your Spirit, and encourage them to continue. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Give help to all rescue workers and keep them safe. May all who are trapped in damaged bodies or minds, in poverty, in earthquakes, floods or storms, be brought to freedom and safety, and be aware of your love for them. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. We pray for those who have died and all who mourn their going. Calm their fears of the dying and have mercy on all of us. We pray for our friends, those that came back from hospital, those who are still in hospital, those at their homes. Please be with them and strengthen them. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. We thank you as Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit for everything you give us, and we look forward to the future infused with your life. Merciful Father, accept our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and through the work of your Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 448, and sorry if your pudding is in the oven, it will be 5 minutes late today. Closing hymn is hymn 448, Shine Jesus Shine, and we also sing of the Spirit within the chorus or the refrain, which says, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit blaze, set our hearts on fire, and may your heart be set on fire again this week. May the Lord set out before you to prepare your way ahead. Know that the Lord will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil, that the Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms, that the Lord will be beneath you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall, and that the Lord will be above you to bless you, and that the Lord will dwell within you through the work of his Spirit to do his works of mercy and grace. So bless our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are on our ways for this week and forevermore.